from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
The pitch. Swung on, line to left, a base hit. Abrams reaching for it, couldn't get it, and Rojas with an RBI single makes it 5-0 Phillies.
Yes, he did, and what a night it was for the Phillies last night. The Phillies knock around the ball a lot all night. They beat the Nationals, and they have now won 2 in a row. Joining us right now to talk about it, as he does every Friday, is Scott Franski, brought to you by Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. Scott, how are you doing today?
I'm doing fine. How are you guys?
Pretty good, pretty good. So, Scott, my question to you was, was it a team meeting or just like a quick conversation? How would you categorize what happened to help turn this thing around?
What team meeting?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's all I need to know. No pressure on my end.
I guess they got together, I guess, you know? I don't know too many details. I mean, I've read what's been out there that there, you know, a lot of people say that it did happen, and mm-hmm. You know, Rob meets with them on the regular, so a lot of times it's just, you know, advanced meetings. They get together. They're all in there as hitters getting together. So I don't know. I know Cassidy was in the bathroom. I don't know. He just said that nothing happened, right? What was it he said?
Yeah, he said he was on the potty.
Yeah,
I guess
what
he was
meeting?
On the potty.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whatever it was, whatever it is.
It was needed, and we're happy about it. Whatever it was, we're happy about it.
I mean, we're happy with a couple of wins, and we're happy the team looks a little bit more like we expected them to look, right? So I think that's great. And, it's 2 games. Let's see if they can keep it going.
Well, that, of course. And now they have the Nats the rest this weekend, a chance to keep it going. Scott, a lot to chew on from the last couple days. But one thing that stood out the last couple weeks, Scott, is the play of Johan Rojas. It's coincided with Brandon Marsh struggling. So,
Austin, Johan Rojas.
I know, your boy. And Austin Hayes, obviously, on the IL. So it's given an opportunity here to Rojas. But it feels like he's running with it, Scott. He's hit 300 since the All-Star break. And he's putting the ball in play. And with his speed, I think about the ball he hit the other night into the hole at shortstop, and it turned the lineup over for Schwarber because he beat it out. That changed that entire game and that sequence of that inning. Scott, what do you notice with Rojas, who feels like he might be playing his way back into an everyday thing in center field?
Well, you know, he's done it 3 times that I know of, what you just mentioned, finding a way to turn the lineup over. I think twice it was a walk on the road trip and the other night, an infield hit. And each time it set up a big hit for Schwarber. Look at the numbers. I think whenever Johan scores a run, the Phillies have a a winning percentage well north of 700, I think, at last check. It makes a big difference that he can get on and you know, sort of table set, and like you say, turn the lineup over and give. Because usually what that means is that Schwarber's got a big spot to maybe produce something, and he's been doing it. So I think he's done a great job. I think they're probably still of a mind to he's going to play most days, right? He's going to play, you know, 5 out of 7, 6 out of 7. If I'm reading the room right, I think that's the way it's going right now. But again, you know, they're in the business of winning games, and if he struggles, they'll make adjustments. But obviously, with the struggles of Brandon, you know, we haven't seen a whole lot of Weston Wilson. I think after last night, we'll probably see more. But Johan's done a good job. He really has. And slow and steady progression, I think they have to be really happy with. Because I think if you look at his numbers now, right, remember when Q would say at the beginning of the year, you know, if he hits 240 and he plays great defense, well, you got something. Well, look what he's doing.
Baseball guy Hugh Douglas.
Thank you, Scott, for giving me my flower. I appreciate that.
Yeah, you should get flowers now and then.
Every once in a while, we'll do
every
that.
Every now and then. Every now and then, I'll take them.
Scott, the other guy that's done a good job, and we've discussed this last couple weeks, is Nick Castellanos, and we noticed now the move up the lineup. Now, a couple days ago, it was to 2 on the night they gave Trey a day off, but then, Scott, yesterday up to 5. You know, it feels like Topper, since he took over, really likes the idea of separating the lefties, and I agree with him on this, especially for late-game situations. But if they don't have a lefty going, like Marsh or Stott, I'm good with Castellanos hitting 5, even though it sets up the back-to-back righties, you know, behind Bohm there. What did you think of the move to 5 last night for Nick Castellanos?
Yeah, I think you'll probably see it for sure against lefties. And I think you'll see it against bullpens that don't have an overabundance of lefties. I think you're gonna see some mix and match there. And I know he doesn't really like to run the three guys in a row, Bohm, Casty, JT, whatever order you want to put them in, but to run the three righties in a row, he just doesn't like to do that as much. Because again, how many does a reliever have to face? It's 3. And so that makes it an easy pocket for an opposing manager. And none of those guys are ones you're going to hit for, right? They're not going to get pinch hit for. So, again, I think ideally they still want to see Stott back to where he was last year, putting the ball in play, not striking out, hitting 280. You know, or somewhere thereabouts, with some extra base power. If he does that, I still think he's going to hit 5th. Because I still think they like the idea that with those other guys, Harper and Bohm, if they're on base, he wants a guy who's going to be able to do something driving around. Now, maybe not every day. And Casty may very well be, it may be Bohm, Casty, Stott, JT, something like that. You know, the lefty, whether it's Stott or Marsh, whoever might be hot, and then JT. So, I do think there's some options, and I do think you'll see him riding some hot hands here and there.
Scott, we're talking with Scott Fransky here on a Fransky Friday. Next week, the Phillies go to Atlanta, and I was thinking about the rotation this morning because I think Tyler Phillips is up for that first start if they want to give it to him. But with an off day, they could skip him, Scott, and go to Wheeler to start that series. Do you think the Phillies would consider doing that? Because you think about it, they're up 7 right now. They've held this lead around 6 or 7, 8 for a while. They could really deliver a knockout punch next week to Atlanta if they choose to kind of prioritize it that way, or they could keep going with more rest and prioritize the big picture. How do you think they might play that in Atlanta next week?
I think there's a better than 50-50 chance that they do what you're talking about. And that is skip Phillips at least, you know, right away and not have him lead off that series. You know, his struggles are, you know, he's definitely struggled the last 3 games. And again, I think Rob said yesterday, you know, we're not there yet. We'll look at it. They're really interested in monitoring Zach and Nola. And they're really interested in checking in with Zach and Nola throughout the week. You know, Zach has his routine and he likes to know when he's going to pitch, and everybody can appreciate that and understand that. And part of that is if he knows when he's going to pitch, he knows when he does his bullpen, and he knows when he does his just touch and feel and his light throwing. And so I think what it boils down to is that how he feels coming out of a regular bullpen session, if he feels good, feels strong, they might go for that and say, all right, you're going on normal rest. If he says, you know, I'm feeling a little something here and there, whatever, which all pitchers do, especially this time of year, maybe they say, all right, we'll punt it today and we'll keep it the way it is and let Phillips have the start. But I think their primary focus right now remains the health of the starting pitchers. I mean, health of everybody. But, I mean, those guys are really – like Wheeler, Nola, Suarez, Sanchez, those four guys at the top of the rotation, their health is everything in terms of a playoff run.
Yeah, it's the key. I mean, and we saw it a couple years ago when Wheeler and Nola got going, then and Suarez. They made it all the way to the World Series. Scott, speaking of starting pitching, I'm not sure if you saw the full details. You probably saw, you know, something about it, the headline that was out yesterday. The Major League Baseball considering a rule change in the future where starters would have to go six innings. Now, there's a couple ways that they could get around it. It would be the idea of if they give up four runs or get to 100 pitches or they're hurt, and that would require an IL stint afterwards so you can't fake the injury. But just on the surface, what do you think of that idea? And we've gone so far away in baseball, away from the starting pitcher. The Phillies are kind of old school with the way they do it. But do you like it? Do you think something like that could make some sense moving forward in Major League Baseball?
I just wonder why we're trying to reinvent. I think what they should probably do is just have players at the minor league level learn to throw seven or eight innings at a time. And then, so when they get to the big leagues, it's not such a shock to try to have to do that. I mean, if you implemented a rule like that, it would take 5 years for development organizations to change the way they're developing players, the way they're developing pitchers, because they don't develop them for seven innings or even six innings. They develop them to pitch four and five innings at max velocity and max effort. And try to stay healthy with that. And that means a lot of extra rest, right? I mean, they're getting tons of rest in between starts. They're not throwing, you know, high pitch counts during games. And that's, you know, that's baseball-wide. So I think it would take a while for them to do that. Like, to honestly do that, you're going to have to give the minor leagues years to start to redevelop pitchers so that they can lengthen them out, I think.
It would take time.
I don't know why we have to mandate all the managers' moves all the time, but I don't know how that makes it a better product necessarily. The clock I can understand. I understand how that makes it a better product, you know, seeing it in action. And this may, I don't know, maybe it turns out to be a great idea. But I don't know how it makes it a better product.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think they're trying to almost reverse engineer excitement and a change and making the starting pitcher relevant again. But instead of doing it the normal way, like you said, like developing them, it's almost like they're going to force teams to do it with a rule change. We'll see. It's certainly an interesting one. Scott, appreciate you as always. And we'll be listening tonight and this weekend with the Nationals. And thank you, Scott.
Sounds good, guys. Take care.
There
you
go.
Well.
Scott Fransky, who was obviously in the call last night and will be tonight. Phillies and the Nationals. Aaron Nola on the mound for the Phillies. Hugh, the thing about the lineup at Castellanos, he said he thinks we'll see more of it, but it seemed like he thought that Rob Thompson still likes the lefty-righty thing.
He does.
So that means I think Stott's going to keep getting opportunities to bat fifth and Castellanos sixth. Because last night they had Castellanos five, and he hit the home run right after Boom. I just wonder how much Nick has to hit, because he's hit a lot for 2 months now to just move up that lineup.
I think what has happened is that Topper's at a position right now where you're going to do what you feel is best for that evening. I think you have to. You know, like you talked about the other night when he rested Trey, and mm-hmm. Trey came back and he had the game that he had.
Three hits last night.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's to the point now where I feel like you have to do what you feel is best for the team in that moment, instead of just, you know, going with the mantra that, you know, guys are going to work their way out of it, because we're getting down to it. We're getting close to the postseason. So, yeah, you can't be playing favors. Not saying he's doing that, but you can't just be stuck in your ways.
The other thing I like Scott said there, he gave it a more than 50-50 chance they're going to skip Tyler Phillips next week and pitch Wheeler to start that Braves series. You know what I want next week in Atlanta? I want a knockout punch.
A sweep.
knockout punch of the Braves, Hugh. I want to be able to come in here next Thursday or Friday, whenever the series ends, and say, see, the division is over
now. So you
now.
Want to be able to pump your chest. You want your victory.
I
want to
celebrate.
I'm not mad at you, as you should.
If they're up 10 next Thursday, I you'd be silly if you didn't say the division is over.
No, I mean, as you should. Pump your chest out.
Knockout punch next week in Atlanta. All right, 215-592-9494. Back to the phones here. We have a lot to talk about. Tanner McKee. Kenny Pickett, who should be the Eagles' backup quarterback? I remain very lonely on Kenny Pickett Island. A few people with me, but it's a small population on Kenny Pickett Island. Small hands, small population on Pickett
small
Island.
Small hands, small population.
The tide's rising, too. Like, the island is just getting smaller
I know,
and smaller.
I know, but we've carved out a little real estate here on Kenny Pickett Island. Or are you with everybody else? Tanner McKee, he did play well last night. Where are you on the Eagles' backup quarterback? And Johan Rojas, has he reconfirmed or kind of reestablished himself as the everyday center fielder in your mind? 215-592-9494. And we need a TV show here, something we can watch for Tri-Day. And the best answer we get today wins a spot in the Midday Show Fantasy Football League. Nick in Marlton. Hey, Nick.
Nick. Hello.
Hey,
hello?
Nick.
Hello.
Now I'm sorry. Cut out a little bit.
Oh, you're good, Nick. What's up?
So, yeah, I'm going to join you on that island. I'm going with Kenny, honestly.
So you're on Pickett Island, yeah, Nick. It's lonely. We need more people here. We could set up shop on Pickett Island. Nick, my thing is he's experienced. He was a first round pick. I'm not giving up after two preseason games on the guy.
Yeah, I don't think so. Like, I think it's scenario based. Like you said, if Jalen gets knocked out, he's in the blue tent with a concussion. I think you got to get Kenny in there. Just I feel like he can manage the game. Like. You saw what Daniel Jones did with Saquon Barkley. I think that he could do the same thing, just check down central. And if it's something like season ending, then I think you go with Tanner because Kenny's not bringing you to a Super Bowl, but you never know. Tanner could, whereas with Kenny, it's kind of 0%. So I think if it's a small injury for a couple games, you put in Kenny. And if it's a season-long type thing, then you give Tanner the shot.
Yeah, that's an interesting thing, like the upside thing, that maybe Tanner with his size and his arm actually down the line might have some more upside. And maybe he does. You know, that's possible here. Yeah, but I think the way you framed it, if Jalen goes down, and that Daniel Jones comp is interesting because he won with, say, you know, he had one good year with Saquon. Pickett with these guys could probably score some points. All right, Nick, give us a TV show we should check out.
I'm going to go with Chernobyl. I don't know if you guys have seen that on HBO.
No, I've seen some previews.
I mean, I know that
yeah.
We know the story, but I've never seen.
It's really good.
Is it?
Yeah.
It's one of my favorite shows of all time. It's like a weekend watch too. You could watch it in a couple nights.
Yeah, it's not many episodes. And it's like one you'll want to keep watching.
It's more like a documentary, though, kind
of,
right?
It's like sort of like a dramatization of
what happened.
Yeah. But like it's fact-based, obviously, and like it's just like jarring a little bit. Like how they reacted to it initially happening, and like they were sort of in denial about it.
Mm.
And well, like it's, they illustrate that pretty well. It's good.
So there was the blame game and yes. Trying to figure out who's.
Well, sort of. It's kind of like it was more like nothing to see here.
Oh yeah, but there was. I mean, obviously there was. All right, that's a good one, Nick. We'll get you in the mix for our fantasy league. All right, so Hugh, it's interesting the way he framed the backup thing. Like, let's play it out. Jalen gets banged up. He's in the blue tent during the season. Kenny Pickett's the first. I would be surprised if he's not the first quarterback up. But you know what? I think that McKee has shown enough to you that if Pickett has to come in for a game and he stinks and they need another game,
yeah.
They could change it.
Yeah, they could. But like, yeah, it could be something where if he's progressing nicely.
McKee.
McKee is progressing really, really nice. So they might probably give him a chance because there's something to be said about the fact that you did stick him back out there after he was on the bench for a while.
I know.
Yeah.
And to go score
points.
And
they wanted to go see they wanted to see what he would look like in certain situations, man. Listen, I understand, and it's obvious that he wasn't playing with the high power weapons that we have offensively, but you still have to take advantage of the situations that you're in. And just last night, I don't know what his practices looked like during the week. I think Coach Sirianni alluded to the fact that he did pretty good. Kenny Pickett, that is. But when the lights are on, man, you have to show a little something, regardless of what it is. You have to be able to show a little something.
I have noticed when we've been at practice, and again, you know, we're on the air for a lot of the time that they're on the field. So I'm like, when we're at Eagles camp, we have the RV and we're kind of peeking out. And I could see, if they're on our side of the field, I could see a little bit. I have noticed, though, Hugh, that Kenny Pickett, a few times that I looked up in practice, he does the thing he did last night a bunch, where he holds the ball and then they end up blowing the whistle. Like, no one hit him because mm-hmm. It was practice. But, like, he kind of just gets swallowed up in the pocket, and then they just blow the whistle, and the play is dead. I don't, Maybe he just is behind in the offense because it's new for him too, and he's just not grasping it as quickly. But like, he's got to get rid of the football. You can't take four sacks and 17 dropbacks.
Yeah, you cannot do that. That is not what we're trying to do.
No, especially when you're not making any big plays to offset the negative plays.
Yeah, basically.
Because I know Sirianni last night said that wasn't any negative plays by Pickett. He basically saying he wasn't throwing interceptions or fumbling, but
you got to let the ball go.
Yeah, sacks are negative plays. I mean, when you have a sack on a drive, you don't usually score on that drive. All right, we got Cowboy Jim next. Cowboy Jim is up on WIP. What's up, Cowboy Jim?
What have I done to deserve this?
I don't know. What's up, Jim?
Can we stop all this talk about parades and we're back on track?
Why?
Your baseball team has played a minor league team.
Oh.
Your football team played Boston College last night. Okay, I'm going to and the Eagles are keeping two loser quarterbacks so Jalen doesn't get uncomfortable.
Well, what's all this your? Why are you even here?
Yeah, also, have you thought about the loser quarterback you have behind your soon to be free agent quarterback? I mean, Trey Lance, he makes Kenny Pickett look like a star in the NFL.
Trey Lance just needs more time.
Oh, yeah, sure he does.
Time with the first team. He needs more reps.
The best offensive mind in the NFC and the second best in the league, and Kyle Shanahan couldn't get him to play well. You think about that? You think if Shanahan's gotten every quarterback he's ever touched to play well except Trey Lance.
We're trying. Mm-hmm. We're trying. Mm-hmm. He just has to grow up a little bit more. That's
little
all.
Bit, little
yeah, that's
bit,
it. That's
just
all.
Look grown.
I don't give a shit. Hey, Hugh, I need to clear something up with you.
What's that?
You said the other day you lost some luggage.
It was like a long time. This was like about 20 years ago.
Okay, you know who ran baggage in Philadelphia back then?
Who?
Herb. Herb used to run baggage at the airport. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
I'm looking at a threesome.
Haven't heard from Herb in a while.
Better see if he has any bling or oversized shirts on or anything like that. So just keep an eye out for that.
Herb does dress kind of fashionable.
He does.
Though.
You got a TV show for us, Jim?
Well, I'm down to two. There's two of them, I'm thinking. There's one on Netflix called Three Body Problem, and the other one is on HBO called The Leftovers.
You can't give
so
two answers.
No. You could be disqualified based on that.
He is.
All right. I'll go with The Leftovers on HBO.
Still think you're disqualified. Out. You can't come in with two.
They did, though.
I did see Herb recently, by the way. And tell you
how, yeah. How's he doing?
The last time we were at camp, was it last week or 2 weeks ago?
I think. Mm-hmm.
My brain is scrambled. I think it was last week. We were at camp. And I went to get my, I walked to the parking lot for my car after practice. And you know who's just sitting there in his bus?
Herb.
Chilling. You want to play with me?
Yeah. I looked up and I was like, Herb? He's just sitting there in the driver's seat.
Was he on the phone? Did he have his earpiece?
Was he asleep?
He was awake. I don't know. I mean, there was no one on the bus. I don't know. He was just alone in the parking lot. I don't know what was going on. But it was nice to see him.
Maybe he was waiting to plot his next move.
Could have been. Mm. I didn't think he was wearing any of your clothes from 20 years ago. But
no, he definitely. Yeah, that's Herb's pretty fashionable. He wasn't wearing anything that I had back in the day.
Herb in charge of all the luggage at the Philadelphia airport
That's interesting.
I've heard horror stories about like people losing luggage and stuff all the time. Is it Herb's fault?
So now we have someone tangible to blame.
Yes,
it's
Herb's fault.
No. Yeah.
Yeah, I lost a whole bag, and it was, like, traumatizing. That's why I refuse to, unless I have to. Got to fly. And normally I would like to take my luggage with me. But I overpack every time I travel. Like, if I'm going for a couple of days, I always overpack.
Like, what do you mean? Like an extra outfit or two? Or
I pack like I'm going to live wherever I'm going. So, yeah, it's bad.
Well, knowing you, you might be. I mean, like, you find a hotel, you're stuck there for
Man,
a while.
Man, listen, I would pack my iron. I would pack hangers.
You bring irons on trips?
Man, listen. I know it's a problem. I bring my own hangers sometimes. Blue and white. I got blue and white hangers that I like. I got a pair of blue ones and some white ones. It's ridiculous. I know. I hate that I shared that with y'all because now I'm gonna be judged for that.
Yeah, I don't know what caught
I
me more. The blue and white hangers or that you bring irons with
I
you.
I bring my like because
now
this
is like what uses when you go to a formal thing or just going.
Just going somewhere like on a trip. I still have it. I have like over. Like I can't carry it now because. You remember when you used to didn't have to pay for your luggage?
Well, yeah, those were the days.
Yeah, them days is gone.
They're taking your money
but
now.
I used to, my bag was well over 50 pounds.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and I would pack. I'd be gone for like 3 days.
You know what it was? Someone that worked at the airport was like, screw this guy with his 75-pound bag. I'm throwing this in the trash. Forget this guy. 215-592-9494. Your call's coming up next. we got the Eagles. Tanner McKee, Kenny Pickett. Which side are you on for quarterback two? I'm still with Team Pickett. I've not given up on the former first-round pick to be a serviceable backup here with the Eagles. TV shows for Tri-Day. Best answer we get today gets a spot in the Midday Show Fantasy Football League. And as Johan Rojas worked his way back to being the unquestioned center fielder for this baseball team, where do you come down on it? Plus, an interesting rule change in MLB is being considered. We'll get into it next. It is really interesting. Could affect the Phillies in a major way moving forward. 215-592-949 for Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Do y'all remember the special care package that I got from my friends at Hatfield with their new Southwest Seasoned Tenderloin flavor? Well, I've got news for you people. It's now available in your neighborhood Acme. Hatfield's Southwest Seasoned Marinated Tenderloin boasts a bold flavor profile with a hint, just a hint of heat that brings a vibrant Southwestern kick to every bite. I'm speaking to the grill masters right now. Upgrade your grilling game. Visit simplyhatfield.com and find your flavor. Find your flavor today with Hatfield.
Welcome back. Midday Show, little Billy Joel. As we come back here on a Friday, it's a Tri-Day Friday. And we are looking for a TV show to try on Tri-Day. Best one we get today is going to win a spot in our fantasy football league. And we're going to do it on a Wednesday coming up, Wednesday the 28th, live draft. We'll give you all the details very soon here about where we're going to have our draft. But we're excited for this. And here we'll get back to all the calls on Pickett and McKee. And I was just amazed how many people are just Tanner McKee's won everyone over. I mean, like, it's a lonely island here on Kenny Pickett Island. I get it. We have, you know, small hands, not much area. It's Kenny Pickett Island. But here, before we get back to all that, we have this rule change. I mentioned it to Scott, and Major League Baseball is considering this. So Jesse Rogers, ESPN, put out a story yesterday that MLB is considering a rule change which would require starting pitchers to go at least six innings in every start. Now, there's three loopholes to a way you could get the starter out earlier. Ready for these?
Mm-hmm.
If he throws 100 pitches, so at the 100-pitch mark, you could take the pitcher out. So if that happens in the fourth or fifth inning, you could come get him. If he gives up four or more runs, you could also take him out then, performance-wise. And if he gets injured, but here's the thing on that, it would require an injured list stint. So you couldn't fake the injury, right?
So that means that if you came out and you were injured, you couldn't pitch for like, you had to be like on at least a 10-day.
Exactly. So 100 pitchers, four or more runs, and then the injured list stint if you do come out with an injury. So the idea is to try to force the starting pitcher back into prominence. Hugh, I think it's interesting. I mean, Scott seemed like he didn't love it because it feels like almost like reverse engineering the old way of baseball.
Yeah.
But here's what I think would be interesting if they go there. Well, two things. One, the Phillies seem like they'd be well equipped for it. They have starters that pitch deeper into games, so they'd be, you know, they could do that. The second thing I think would be kind of interesting is, like, imagine it's the top of the sixth inning. Your pitcher's pitched five innings, so he's got to finish that one more inning. He's at 90 pitches. He's got the bases loaded and one out. Like, he's on the ropes. I mean, you have him. Like, that feels like the most important moment of the game. You can't take him out of the game because he's right. He's only at like one or two or three runs allowed. Mm-hmm. Bases are loaded. He's not at 100 pitches. Like, he'd be forced to stay in the game to try to, you know, get out of it. Or you could, you know, hit a home run and get him to, you know, knock him out of the game. But here, what do you like this? Do you like this idea of baseball considering forcing teams to pitch their pitchers at least six innings?
You know what? I hear what Scott is saying, and he's probably forgotten more baseball than I know, and I respect where he's coming from. But this almost feels to me like last year when they implemented the pitch clock, and guys complained about it, but they adjusted, and they adjusted quickly. I think this is the same thing. I think that baseball feels, and I don't know if they've done a Harvard study or whatever it is to try to figure out if this is potentially can happen. But I feel like it's one where it's a mentality more so than training. And like Scott pointed out, it's one of those things where he feels that it's going to take at least 5 to 6 years to get guys prepared for that. Now, I think it probably won't take that long. Like I said, he knows more baseball than I do, but I think that there probably going to be some injuries might be early on, and there might be some opportunity for some guys that might be mentally prepared for that. Because to me, it's about, when I think about certain things, when you're making adjustments, physical adjustments and things like that, it's because you've trained your body to be in a certain routine. Not saying that you can't do it, but you've become in a certain routine. Because who was it last year? Nola complained about the timing, and he complained about it often. But after he got adjusted, it took him a while. He was fine. Haven't heard anything else about it. So I feel like it's the same thing. So I don't have a problem with it. They're trying to make the games more interesting by keeping the pitchers out there longer and making it more intense, if you will. Because if somebody's out there leaking oil and they're not in that realm where you're talking about as far as the six innings or the four runs or whatever, then, yeah, that's a problem.
I also think it would increase scoring. Yeah. I mean, these pitchers, like these pitchers, know that they only have to go four or five innings, six at the most, right? So Scott said it. They throw as hard as they can. They strike everybody out, and then they're out of the game, and the bullpen takes over. If you know you have to get through six innings, you're going to conserve energy.
Yeah, you got to. That's a strategy.
Yeah,
like
right.
That's like I said, that's more mental than anything because you got to. You know that you have to really, really like think about how you're going to set up pitches and how you're going to try to set up hitters and things like that. So yeah. I kind of like it.
The other thing that it's been very noticeable is, you know, everyone complained the steroid era was cheating, right? But you know what was fun? Runs. People like runs. And ever since they put the penalties in, and severe ones for taking performance-enhancing drugs, runs have gone down. And the new rule changes haven't done much. Actually, runs are down this year from even last year when they put in the shift. You know, you can't do the shift. Like, it's just hard to hit these days with these guys throwing 95. I thought when you sent me the article last night, I thought I was going to hate what I read. I don't think this is a crazy idea. I actually think this could be long-term a good thing for baseball.
So when I saw it, my brain read it as a 6-inning maximum.
Oh, the other way.
And I freaked out. Yeah, like, I was about to lose it.
Yeah, like, you guys cruising at 6 innings.
Like, you were going to end baseball as we know it. But then I found out that I read it wrong. It was minimum. And, like, with those parameters, like those little out levers that you can pull, like 100 pitches, 4 earned runs, it's kind of intriguing. I think I would say I'm still against it. Like, I'm okay with it the way it is, but I'm not, like, totally appalled at the idea. The one thing that stood out to me, besides the fact that it would probably play to the Phillies' advantage with how deep our starters go, is, and it's sort of a minor thing, but a stat that's kind of gotten obsolete or, like, you know, useless in baseball is pitchers' win-loss records. With guys having to go 6 minimum, like, you actually might, like, that becomes more of a relevant statistic again. Like, pitchers are owning their own ball games.
Well, it's totally going to change how we view starters that are in Hall of Fame contention. Like, let me give you a name. Zach Wheeler, right? Zach Wheeler for the past, 6 years has been a top 5 to 10 pitcher in baseball. Typically, that's how you start to be in the Hall of Fame conversation. Do you know how many wins Zach Wheeler has in his career? Just guess. Do you think he has more or less than 100 career wins?
It sounds like you're going with less.
He has 99 wins. Oh, like, based on this criteria that we usually use, it's laughable to consider him. Right. But down the line, if you bring wins back, there's only three active pitchers have 200. And it's Verlander, Scherzer, and Kershaw, and they've been pitching forever.
A long time.
Yeah, I mean, after that, it's like, I don't even know who the next guy that gets to 200 is. Maybe Gerrit Cole. He's at 148. Like, nobody gets wins anymore because they don't pitch deep enough.
The other ripple effect of this, would teams start trying to move more towards 6-man rotations?
I think so. Because you're
that's a thought.
Well, you're almost guaranteeing that each week the idea is the guy has to go 6, right?
So
every start.
Like, a guy like, it's going to be crazy, but does, like, Taiwan Walker become more, like, a little bit more valuable? He's kind of just like an innings eater if he's a 6 guy.
6 innings, 4 runs, the Taiwan, we'll start calling it. That's
but you don't want Taiwan to be the guy out there with not only 90 pitches
on the ropes
in the 5th inning.
Bases loaded.
With the bases loaded and no outs.
I tell you, another thing that it potentially does, it makes the pitchers in baseball way more valuable. Like with the money that they're making.
Them.
Yeah, like the ones that go deep into innings, like, they're going to make. Like, say if this would have happened last year, he'd have got a lot more money. He'd have got a lot more money
because he's durable and he usually goes 6.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I think if I was a pitcher, I would like this, and I would start grooming myself because you're looking at it. Everybody's not going to be able to adjust as fast, like Scott talked about. It's going to take him some time, but the guys that can. Those are going to be the guys that are going to be more valuable.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, in the past with rule proposals like this, you kind of like shake it off like, they're not really going to do this. But they just put a pitch clock in. Eventually, they're going to have automatic umpires, right? Like robotic umpires. Like, no baseball rule change now that I read, I'm like, nah, they wouldn't. They might do this.
I'm sorry if I'm repeating something you said, but it kind of would negate a little bit of the pitch clock, like how it shortens games.
Because your
offense means games are going
to
go longer.
Yeah, they would. 215-592-9494. Back to the phone lines. You can react to the idea and rule proposal change baseball has out there where they might eventually go to a rule where you have to pitch 6 innings for a starting pitcher. Do you like it? Lot to discuss. Let's go back to the phone lines here. Andy in Westchester talking to Johan Rojas. What's up, Andy?
Hey, I'm not sure if I'm more fascinated by Cowboy Jim not knowing by now you can't give two answers or Hugh traveling with an anvil on his luggage.
I think it's actually probably Hugh with the bricks and the anvil in there, like a cartoon character. Yeah, that's for me what it's funnier.
From the dumpster. I wouldn't want to lift that.
Well, I mean, do you need the iron when you travel?
I just feel like I like my iron.
I know.
I like my iron.
But don't most hotel rooms have an iron?
Yeah, but not mine.
Well, what's special about your iron?
Because it's mine.
Okay. Go ahead, Andy.
I know it's goofy. I know. I mean, I'm here. I'm here.
There's
and
something wrong with you,
I overshared.
Dude.
Yeah, it's cool.
Go ahead, Andy.
So yeah, I'm I am behind you, Hugh, as always, on Rojas. I still like him. Even though he doesn't hit for, you know, a decent average overall, it does seem like the hits he gets are important hits. Maybe I'm just wishing that to be the case, but I don't know. It seems like he's, I don't want to say clutch, but.
No, he's not that, but
the
he's.
The right time.
He's had some, like, for me, it's been the defense, but also, not only that, Andy, the last couple of weeks, it's like he gets it. When they sent him down and, you know, they were talking about his button and everything, he understands that. And this is a phrase that Joe coined last year. The game found him in certain situations, and he didn't come up big. The game is finding him again, and now he's starting to get hits in those situations.
You know, Andy, you know what I think? It feels like his moments are clutch. You know, we talk about him; he's the nine-hole hitter. But another way of saying that is he hits in front of Kyle Schwarber, right? So every time he gets on, it brings Schwarber to the plate with at least one guy on. I mean, that was he walked before the home run, one of the home runs in L.A., and then two nights ago with the grand slam, he beat that ball out in the infield. So like every time he gets on, Schwarber's coming up with guys on base.
Well, that's called doing your job, right?
Well, of course. Yeah, it's kind of a weirdly important role, the nine-hole hitter, when you have a hitter like Schwarber hitting leadoff. It kind of changes that role a little bit here. Andy, what are you thinking here? What's a show we should watch?
So I get a feeling, and maybe I'm wrong, but Hugh, I feel like you kind of like B-movies. Is that right?
I like B-movies.
Have you ever seen Evil Dead 2 or Army of Darkness?
Yes. Yes, I have.
Okay. Have you seen Ash vs. Evil Dead?
Yes, that campy is all get out. That's a good one. That's a real good one.
I love that show.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Good one, Andy. All right, we'll get you in the mix to be in the fantasy league. We appreciate the phone call there. Now, do you have a special iron, or you just like your iron?
I just like my iron. It's a steam, like, because a lot of times when you go in a hotel, they have irons, but they're not really good steam irons.
You got a steam iron.
I got a steam iron.
Now, is it a smaller one?
Nah. No.
I was going to say, because if you travel with it, maybe it's smaller.
No.
It's a big old iron.
No, that's why I like to drive, man, because, like, I can carry my big suitcase.
Yeah.
I can bring enough clothes to last me a whole month. And I can bring my hangers and all the other good stuff that I need when I'm there.
Now, are your hangers different than other hangers?
No, they're just blue and white.
Okay.
I know it sounds ridiculous. Listen, this is probably the reason why I don't have I don't get a lot of dates lately, and I ain't been out on one. But, listen.
Everyone has quirks.
You got to find somebody to match your crazy.
Yeah.
This is unfortunately for me, I ain't found that yet.
That's really what life is about, just finding people
to match
your crazy. Let's go to Mike in Broomall. He might be crazy just like us. What's up, Mike?
What's up, guys? Yes, I am just as crazy as you guys. There is absolutely no doubt about it.
Now, do you travel with your own iron? And that's a particular kind of crazy.
The own irons have a bit much. I don't use the iron too much. I mean, I don't have to get all dressed up for work. And the only time I really use the iron is when I go out to, like, you know, fancy dinner or something.
Well, the funny part is Hugh doesn't have to get dressed up for work
either.
Get
I just like to iron my t-shirts, man.
That's all right, Hugh. That's good, though. Looking good, Hugh. He's got the look going.
If you say so.
What are you thinking here, Mike? You team Tanner or team Kenny?
Yes. I'm team Tanner. However, I don't think that he's going to – I think they're just going to roll with Pickett because that's what Howie does, man. Howie spent that money. He spent those draft picks. He's going to be like, all right, he's just going to throw Pickett in there. However, I do – somebody said earlier that they said if, you know, Jalen does get hurt and he's out for a couple games and Pickett goes in there and doesn't do well, they're going to put Tanner McKay in there. I think that's the more than likely scenario that would happen.
I agree. The leash is going to be short. I think the first guy up is going to be Kenny Pickett if we need him. And if he plays well and they need him, you know, whatever, 2 or 3 weeks, he'll play again. But it wouldn't surprise me, Mike, if he went in and he looked like he did last night, the calls all week and Sirianni will have to react. It's going to be like, you got to play the other guy.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's no doubt, especially, you know, it doesn't matter when Jalen gets hurt. You know, you're gonna have to play Pickett, and if he doesn't play well, you're gonna have to play Tanner McKee because he's a proven come out in the preseason 2 years in a row. He's proven that he's a more than capable quarterback. He's bigger than Pickett. I mean, the only thing that Pickett has over him is Pickett moves a little bit faster than he does.
Yes, and look, Tanner's bigger, and he might even have a bigger arm. Mike, we appreciate the phone call. All right, so I found this interesting. So Hugh, Action Network, it's like a betting website.
Mm-hmm.
They put out recently an article how much each quarterback is worth to the spread. All right, so basically, like, if the quarterback wasn't there, how much would the spread change? Okay, mm-hmm. How much would the line on the game change? It's no surprise who number one is, and he's worth almost an entire touchdown. That's Patrick Mahomes.
Yes.
Okay, so if Mahomes is out, if the Chiefs are favored by a 6.5, they're not going to be favored anymore.
Right? Yeah, he's moves them out. He moved the line that much.
That much. So they rank them. They go Pat Mahomes, Lamar, Burrow, Stroud. Like, this is the way they rank it. Jalen actually came in 6th on this. He's 4.5 points better than your standard backup for the spread. The Pickett thing is interesting because right now everyone's down on Kenny Pickett. But here's what the betting line says about Kenny Pickett. They rank him in terms of how much he moves the spread as the 34th quarterback in the NFL. So that means, if we're going by math here, he's the third best backup in the NFL.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
To be fair, this came out 3 days ago, so before last night. So he's grouped with the following quarterbacks. He's grouped with Jacoby Brissett, Drew Locke, Mitchell Trubisky, Gardner Minshew, Sam Darnold.
It's a great group.
Jameis Winston. But these are backups.
Because it's his body of work. Yeah. The body of work.
Yeah,
that
but does anyone
had.
Want Mitchell Trubisky to be our backup?
No, but what I'm thinking when they make that list is because he has been a starter.
Yeah.
Like, it hasn't been great, but it hasn't been, you know, it hasn't been bad.
By the way, Marcus Mariota, our buddy from last year.
Marcus, yeah.
Hugh's buddy from back in Atlanta.
He's like 50.
50. You hit it nail on the head. He's 50th.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I do not hate Marcus Mariota.
You tried to tell us, though.
Yeah.
But
we don't believe it. I mean,
what, that I don't hate him?
No, I'm kidding.
No, it's just like he's
stinks.
Just,
I get it.
I don't like to use that word either. But when he quit last year.
2 years
it
ago.
Just let, yeah. Look at me. Time machine. Yeah, but he quit 2 years ago. It was one of those things. It was like, wow. And he was the rah-rah team guy, and then he just up, and when he lost his job, he just walked out.
Yeah, that's a bad look for a team.
Yeah, that's bad. That's bad. But he got a job, and he has another job. So, I mean, God bless him.
And we could see him. He's in the division. I mean, he's backing up Jaden Daniels in Washington. So.
Yeah, you know what? While you're playing, he might get a chance to play. We might have to see him play.
Well, Jaden Daniels is a mobile running quarterback, right? I mean, those guys, they get banged up. So, yeah, if he has to play this year, I would like it to be against the Eagles.
Yeah, because we already know how that's going to work out. Yeah, just sit back and let him do what he does.
Yep.
He tried to throw a pass one time on his back
against a Carolina.
It was either Carolina or New Orleans, but he tried to throw one on his back.
Yeah, it didn't work out. Ken, is it Cinnamon? And hey, Ken.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How are you today?
What's up,
good,
man?
Ken. What's up?
Listen, Hugh, the iron thing, I have not had a steam iron, or very rarely if I had a steam iron, a hotel steam iron, that didn't leak all over my clothes when I put water in it.
Yeah, man. It's like, I know I'm quirky, but I like my own iron because it doesn't leak.
Oh, it's a thing. It's a thing, man. When you're going to iron the only shirt you have to wear that day, and the iron leaks all over your clothes with, like, this rusty water and your hose, like, that's bad. So I feel your decision.
So do you bring your own iron, or you've had bad experiences because you don't?
I don't, but see, I'm an army packer, so I fold in such a way that my stuff comes out of the suitcase completely squared and flat and folded. Doesn't need to be ironed. So the Department of Defense taught me how to pack properly. So listen, that rule. First of all, Kenny Pickett, don't forget. Kenny Pickett was benched as a starter for a playoff game in Pittsburgh in favor of Mason Rudolph.
I know.
Okay? So, I mean, Mr. and Mrs. Pickett are not on Pickett Island with you, Joe. He stinks.
Well, they're invited. So, now, they haven't responded. No RSVP from his parents yet, but they're invited on Pickett Island.
They're not coming. They're Tanner McKee. They're Tanner McKee acolytes too. So it's by default you have to go with Tanner McKee because Kenny Pickett is so bad. That rule change they're proposing is so idiotic. And there's one driving force behind it. Whoever wins the National League batting title this year is going to have the lowest batting average to win a National League batting title since Tony Gwynn hit .313 and won the National League batting title in like 1985 or whatever it is.
So, who's leading it? Is it Luis Arraez at like .305 or something?
Yeah, there's only two guys that are above .300 that have enough at bats to qualify for the batting title.
Yeah, it's remarkable.
Just two. So it's they're looking to get guys up into the fifth and sixth inning, into the third time around the batting order, where pitchers, especially kind of those middle of the road starters, have a tendency to get hit hard.
Yep.
So I just think it's idiotic. The pitch clock made sense, and it was an easily implemented thing. But what are you going to have, 7-man rotations at some point? And I just to Kyle's point, and Kyle actually made a point, it's actually going to counteract the pitch clock intention, and it's going to start to lengthen games again. So
yeah, they're desperate for more offense. They actually, I think they thought with the shift and the stolen base change last year, the base, you know, the size of the bases, it would increase offense. Offense is not up because if you throw 98 with movement, it's hard to hit it.
So I'm going to give you a little scenario here. The building is empty. That new analytics building that the Phillies built there on Darien Street, the building is empty. It burns down in the middle of the night. So the Phillies analytics department has nowhere to work. And that happens on day one of Major League Baseball season. The Phillies will finish the year with the highest batting average in baseball because that putting the ball in play is no longer a priority for anybody. For any organization, putting the ball in play is no longer a priority. And that's why batting averages go down. So when guys stop, like what has kind of corrected things in the short term here for the Phillies? Everybody stopped trying to go up and just pull something as hard as they could, and they're going up the middle the opposite way. They're putting the ball in play, and the approach changed, and lo and behold, they're scoring a bunch of runs. So it's you can't put the genie back in the bottle when they turned baseball over to MIT math majors. This was inevitably going to happen. So it's just a stupid rule change, and I to me, it would ruin baseball. So I just hope they don't do it.
Ken, what are you thinking for a TV show? What do you got for us?
So, show that was on Amazon, I think, for maybe six seasons. Really good show. Titus Williver is a L.A. detective. Bosch. Fantastic show.
Bosch. I like the name.
Yeah, I've heard of that one.
Ken, that's good pretty one. We'll get you in the mix. All right, Bosch on Amazon there. Yeah, I mean, I get what he's saying. You can't put the genie back in the bottle, but I understand why they want to increase offense and bring the starting pitcher back.
What they used to say, chick dig the long ball?
Chicks do dig the long ball.
Yeah.
That commercial was great.
So I just want to be clear because I know Ken was giving
me
props.
Can we still call them chicks, though? You can't do that.
But that was the we're quoting a commercial.
Yeah, I don't want no smoke.
You can call them chicks.
No.
What the hell's wrong with that?
Is that out?
It's not.
I don't know about that.
No, it's back in.
Okay.
Just to clear it. I would actually prefer it to negate the pitch clock. I still don't like the pitch clock. I love my long baseball game.
You want a little bit more on the
but you know what? I will say this. The pitch clock has not been that big of a deal this year.
We're used to it. Yeah.
Yeah, basically.
Well, they're done adjusting to it.
Yeah, and that's the same thing I think that they feel that's going to happen with this.
The other
they're
part.
They're just going to adjust to it.
Yeah, they will. The other part of why the game feels short to you, Kyle, is that all these teams start at 6:40 or 6:30 now. All right, so you add the pitch clock to a 6:40 start, and 9:03, the game's over.
Right, like I like the idea of a game one starting at 7, but going up until like 10:30, and I'm like ready to I'm ready to go to bed
on a
at that time.
Night. Kyle's a grown up.
Yeah, I'm just saying, but it's still somebody going to school the next day.
Well, like if a game ends at 9 o'clock, I'm not going to bed at 9. I'm like, what am I doing with the rest of my life?
So basically, you need baseball to get you to sleep.
I got time to fill, man.
I get it. I mean, I understand. I know where you're coming from. 215-592-9494.
All about Kyle.
We got Kyle.
You're damn right.
He needs baseball until he's in bed. We got Hugh taking his iron everywhere he goes. All right, your phone call is coming up here. We're still looking for an underrated TV series. Best one we find out today, and your Tri-Day gets a spot in the Midday Show Fantasy Football League. Phillies, Eagles, MLB rule changes, and we come back. It's the 1 o'clock hour, which means it's the Stockwatch Camp Comeback Stockwatch. Who helped their case last night? We'll discuss it next. Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.